Until you eat your customers' problems, until you face them yourself and you realize these are my problems because they are my clients' problems, you never actually get to go anywhere in business because you're always going to be putting the blame on the clients. And yeah. I just found that that does not work.
Mic check.
I'm good.
Mic check. Mic check.
You can read about success all day long, but if you don't put in the work, the mindset, execution, and the hustle behind your vision, it just remains a dream.
When everything goes wrong, you have to take all the responsibility.
We uncover what high-level entrepreneurs, business owners do to rise up from hustling daily.
So do what you feel passionate about. Take chances.
The world becomes your library to help you to become better at your craft.
Join me as I share with you actionable tips to help you grow your business, learn skills, and help you level up in your self-development journey.
Your number one spot for business and personal growth is the Online Hustlers Podcast with your host, Esteban Andrade. Every day I'm hustling.
What's going on, guys? You are listening to another episode of the Online Hustlers Podcast, where here we cover different steps of entrepreneurship, different stages on entrepreneurship. And we bring in, I call them diamond type of players, to sit here with us, share their nuggets, share their tips, secrets, and a lot of stuff that brought them to success and build their multi-million dollar businesses. Today, we have a special guest, and he's actually in the real estate space as well. So he does agency work for real estate agents. He's been able to work in the real estate space for almost a year now or two.
Yeah, about a year and 3 months.
Yep. And he is running an agency with his partner, Jared, who's a good friend of mine too. They are running an agency and helping like hundreds of real estate agents currently. They scale their agency to $300,000 a month and currently doing so well. I just saw them coming from a Costa Rica, kind of like a get together, like a meetup. It was a team retreat, yes. Man. Like, how awesome is that? Like,
man, it's so important. Team retreats are so important. I was thinking about this earlier. Once you have over 10 people on your team, like get them all in person. Get them all in person. Because when people get to meet each other, they get to really build friendships with each other. Your company, your culture goes to a new level. There's an interesting study that surveyed top companies. And one of the common things they found in the most successful cultures is that people on the teams could say they had a best friend at work. They said they could have a best friend at work. We surveyed our team about a year ago and we asked, you know, do you have a best friend at work? And most of the team said no. And our culture reflected that. Now, after this retreat, everybody has a ton of best friends. Like the team, we love each other. Like it's an incredible, incredible thing. And it took our culture and our company to a new level, man. So I highly recommend the team retreats. We got to go to Costa Rica. It's my third time there. Such a beautiful, beautiful country, man. I swear I could live there. So yeah, man, but we're back here. We're in Miami with you. So
I love that. How many team members do you have right now?
We just brought on two more. So I think we have 22 full-time.
22.
Yep.
And all of these are remote?
Yeah, everybody's remote. All around the world, man. Ecuador, Kenya, Philippines, you know, the US, Canada, everywhere.
Did you bring those even from Asia that were so far?
We tried, man. We tried, but it ended up not working. They needed visas and the flight times were crazy. So we got everybody from South America, North America, and we got a guy from Europe to come too, but we couldn't get the team members from Africa and Asia, unfortunately.
It was hard visa-wise, all this kind of stuff. Yeah, man. Logistics can get crazy. However, I mean, I do know that you've hired a bunch from Remote Latino / Fava.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
100%.
You've hired like what, two, three?
We've hired three. And one of them gave us a referral. So I'd say we've gotten four people through you and they're all incredible.
Wow.
They're all
man.
Incredible.
This is so sick. And I want to touch base on why you being still as small as startup, right?
Yeah.
And being able to bring in your entire team to a country to get together, increase the culture, connect people, connect better with them, not just keep it virtually. It's going to be so huge. And some people just miss out on that because they start their virtual business, they start the remote agency, the remote wholesaling company or whatever, continue doing that and they never get to see them. They never get to really connect with them.
Yeah. And most people, I think, and I was definitely guilty of this, they don't really value the in-person connection. They don't realize how much it actually changes things. But there's been a lot of studies on this. You can't feel to the maximum extent feelings like empathy, feelings like, you know, just being able to fully connect with somebody. You can't feel that when you're over a Zoom screen. You have to get in person to feel those emotions, and you have to actually be able to see somebody and look them in their eyes, right? And see their face in person. So when you do that, your team literally just creates a stronger connection to you and you to your team. But I think for me, the reason it took me so long to do it is because I didn't really value, if I'm being radically honest, I didn't truly value the team. Like, I didn't really realize how important they were to the success of the business. And it's because as an entrepreneur, when you start, everything's you. So you're just trying to improve yourself. You're focused on yourself. But once I realized how valuable the team actually is, the investment, like, we spent a lot of money on this for sure. We got a 13 bedroom, 20 bathroom villa. It was like three different villas in one, you know, it was a lot of activities. We went on boats. We did a ton of fun stuff. It was a lot of money, but it's a no-brainer investment because the most valuable asset any company has is their people. Mm-hmm. The people will build the processes. The people will build the product. The people will make the shifts that are required for the company to succeed. The people ultimately create the profits. So yeah. If you take care of the people and you get the best people in the world and you make them even better and you maximize their potential, you maximize the company's potential, because all the company is a reflection of a group of people. Like, Apple is not the iPhone. Apple was a reflection of the team that built the iPhone, the people that were responsible for marketing, creating, selling it. So the better you can cultivate your people, the better your company becomes. And man, it was really, really a special time.
I love it. So actually, well, first, it looked like a lot of things happened. You have like an executive assistant do that for you, or I would have gone crazy. Dude.
I'll give Jared a shout out. Jared did a lot of it. And then our executive assistant did a lot of it too. Booking the flights, making the things happen. Shout out to Clara. Clara, we couldn't have done it without you. Clara's from Fava, and she is from or Fava, sorry.
Remote Latinos.
Yeah. all of it. And she's from Ecuador, but she just went home to Argentina, and she's trying to move to Europe now. So, we have a few team members in Ecuador, though. It's a place I want to visit soon. So, couldn't have done it without her.
100%. Do you have high level people high level positions? VAs doing high level positions in your company?
Great question. Yes. Our senior media buyer manager is actually from the Philippines. A year ago, she started with us. She had no media buying experience. She didn't know how to run ads. She didn't know anything about Facebook and Instagram ads. Now she's managing a department that is managing, you know, $3 million a year in Facebook and Instagram ad spend. So
for real estate agents.
Yes, for real estate agents. So we do. We do have VAs that are in high level positions, and I want more of them because they're incredible people. And a year and 3 months ago, I didn't believe in hiring overseas. Mm-hmm. I was like, you need the best people, and the best people are in the US. Yeah. That was my thought process. Jared challenged me on that. He was like, dude, just trust me, like, talk to some of these people that I've worked with in the past at my previous companies, and let's see if we can bring them in. And I've never looked back by far. It's hiring remote. Like, now I'm the opposite of what I used to be. I'm really, it's completely contradictory because I almost don't like hiring in the US unless I really, really have to. So,
yeah. I mean, there's a lot of episodes I talk about this and some others. There is a lot of people that are stopping to apply to jobs or just quitting just because they have they have another way to get their money in an easier way here in the US. People don't see that US, Canada, it's a country that supports everyone, like super easy. Like, you can literally get after someone gets laid off, they get money for like
unemployment,
unemployment, all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
And so people just literally get lazy. Like, yep. And they don't want to work.
I saw the
statistics that compared to 2020, when we had layoffs because of COVID, who was like less than 15-20% of people that actually are not applying to jobs and also more 15-20% more that are quitting. Mm. Like, they're not actually wanting to work here in the US.
Yeah.
So to me, that's crazy to think, because now you have people offshore, Ecuador, you have people in Philippines, you have people in like Argentina, whatever.
Colombia,
and they want to really show up here and work real hard. So, for example, whenever you brought everyone here, how many of them were located in the US? How many of them are located everywhere in the world?
Out of the 21 team members, mm-hmm. I would say in the US we have... Dude, we only have like 5 people in the US, including Jared and I, including Jared and myself. And I might be leaving, so we'll call it 4 people. Everybody else is overseas in either Canada's not overseas, but they're either in Canada or they're in Ecuador or they're in Kenya, Philippines. I think we only have 3 people in the US besides Jared and myself.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And for people that think logically, when you are able to pay someone that is overseas more than they would get paid in yep. their country, first, you allow them to have a great life.
Yes.
You allow them to have a great time, like, but you pay them real well.
Yes.
But also, you're saving as a business owner. You're also saving money. It's costing you less.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes even a no-brainer, a bigger no-brainer of doing these type of trips.
100%. Well, I was talking to one of our Ecuadorian team members, and the average salary where she is $400 a month. $400 a month.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right? So if we can go and pay her $1,000 a month, she's making 2.5 times the average. And she's somebody who in the US we'd probably have to pay $3,000 a month, right? So it's a no-brainer, not only for the person, but for the company as well. And that's why so many people are moving to remote work, remote jobs. You get to work from anywhere. You get to live anywhere. And where you live is so, so important, man. If you have to make a little bit less to live in a country or an area that you love, it's worth it. And more people, I think, are starting to realize that, which is why what you and Omir are doing is so, so important.
You're in Charlotte, right?
I am. Charlotte, North Carolina. Shout out to the 704.
It's beautiful, man. North Carolina is beautiful.
It is. I love it. People are so nice. That's my favorite thing about Charlotte is everybody's so friendly. It's a perfect balance between cold and hot. It's not too cold. It's not too hot. It's a cool city. It's the number one mm-hmm. financial city, I believe. I don't know how they measure this, but I believe it's the number one like banking city in the country. So it's a really cool city.
I invested in a 408 unit with Pays Morby in Charlotte.
Really?
Yeah, man. It's
Damn.
Close to, I forgot the name of the university, and I forgot
UNC Charlotte?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that the one? Or Queens, maybe?
Oh, man. It's kind of like northeast. I forgot exactly where it
okay.
is. But anyways, I was so confident about, because like I read about Charlotte. I was able to like dig in a little bit more. Would this be a great investment? And I was like, and also working with Pays Morby, it was a no-brainer, you know, just work on a 408 unit property.
Jeez.
Yeah,
that's,
man,
incredible.
It's awesome.
Dude, I think Zillow named Charlotte. I think Zillow predicted Charlotte to be the number one growing market in 2023. So it's crazy. And where I am now in Wilmington, North Carolina, same thing. Like whenever I talk to locals in Wilmington and I'm like, hey, like what was it like 5 years ago? They're like, nobody was here.
Yeah.
And now it's, the traffic's crazy. Everybody's here. Charlotte, North Carolina, just the whole state is popping off. So
talking about Zillow, you guys are basically Zillow's competition.
You could say that.
Yeah, you basically,
I don't
guys
think we're
are...
much competition to them, but they are competition to us.
You guys are basically changing the way that real estate agents see everything, because Zillow provides services and all this kind of stuff for mm-hmm. real estate agents, but it's really a shitty product if you think about it. So
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I'll push back against that. And the reason is because I actually think Zillow has a really great product.
Okay.
I'm not going to sit here and lie. I think they have a great product. I think in some markets it has become a bad product and it's not the best investment. It's not the best lead generation move for agents in certain areas. But I know a lot of agents who have made a lot of money from Zillow. But the agents are good. In real estate, like leads are commoditized, right? Anybody can get leads from anywhere. Your follow-up and your sales ability as an agent, that is the product. You are the product as the agent. So for an agent to say Zillow's a bad product, Estate AI is a bad product, whatever is a bad product, they're saying they're bad, in my opinion. Now, yes, you can actually get really bad. Like there are really bad companies out there that like we'll give you 3 leads a month and the leads like don't even have their info and like they're actually bad.
Yeah.
But most of the time, for most agents, when they say a product's bad, it's because they haven't actually understood the process to take the opportunities they're getting from the service, like Zillow or Estate AI, and cultivate them into actual deals. And that's the difference maker. And that's really what Estate AI does differently than any other company is our community, our coaching, our mastermind is so focused on like, how do you take a lead? How do you take their information and turn them into a deal? We could give the same exact leads as Zillow and somebody could call the leads crap if they got them from Zillow, but they can get them from us. But because they know how to convert them, they'll say, oh, these leads are good. No difference in the lead, just a difference in the follow-up quality. So I think follow-up quality is way more important than lead quality. And I think that's really what cultivates the effectiveness of a product is the real estate agent and how they approach the opportunities they're getting.
You're coming a long way, man. We were just discussing this.
Yeah.
You and me, we basically worked as freelancers for our friend Juan in Ottawa.
Yeah.
We were doing a few things. What were you doing? I think you were doing like some sort of like a few clients here and there. Like was it
Google? We were working with dentists. So Juan would set up cold email campaigns to get dentists to try a 2-week free trial of our Facebook advertising services. I would take the meetings. I would try to convince them to do the free trial. I would set up the ads and then I would try to close them. And that's what I was doing. Yeah. Like 4 years ago, I was just taking these meetings with dentists. I had no idea what I was doing. I was 17 years old. Juan was a great mentor to me and I learned a lot. And it's been a journey though, man. You and I used to like, we used to talk and hit each other up on Facebook Messenger and we'd be like, yo, how's it going? What you up to? And we were both just, you know, in our infancy stage and getting started. And look how far we've come, man.
But what, you know, you were actually in the infancy stage. You were like 21, 22?
I'm 21 now, yeah.
21. Dude, like you were like so young. You're still super young. You're saying that I'm getting old. But like, dude, like, what the hell is that? I'm 30, bro. I just turned 30, I look younger.
You do, bro. You look like you're 24.
Bro, yeah. I look like.
It's a Latin thing?
It's a lot. What's that?
Is it a Latino thing?
I guess so.
Okay.
I've been drinking my soup, bro. No, but so it's funny because we both were actually essentially in doing a niche. He was doing the dentist niche. He was doing the real estate niche.
Yep.
And I was doing agents and he was still doing like lawyers. And I would do the same thing. Like we would set up LinkedIn outreach messages for real estate agents and also do Facebook outreach and stuff like that for real estate agents. I would close them. I will fulfill for them. I'll do the C.
We were doing the same thing.
We were doing the same thing,
we
except different
realtors.
Niche.
I was doing
realtors. You were doing the dentist.
Juan was smart, bro. It was a really smart thing to do. He took two people we saw had a lot of potential. He gave them an opportunity. He allowed them to utilize their newfound skill sets to try to create income for themselves. But he provided value that we could not provide ourselves, which was getting the meetings with the companies. That's the hardest part in business is getting appointments with qualified customers. Juan knew how to do that. He leveraged our talent. And ultimately, did it work? No. Was it sustainable? No. But it was a really good idea and I learned a lot. So
Yeah. I actually thought that at some point I was going to officially partner up with Juan. But the thing is that Juan already had a partner. And would have been I don't know, three people or four people like that.
I remember that doesn't make sense. You know what's funny? I didn't mention this to you yet. To kind of bring this full circle, Juan and Scott emailed me maybe a month ago and they asked me how things were going. We got on a call, we told them about the agency, and they were like, man, you guys are killing it. Like you guys should basically just acquire us and we'll refer all our clients to you. And so I think we signed up our first referral from them last week. So to come full circle, I went from, you know, managing free trials with Juan to being able to acquire the real estate side of their agency, which is pretty cool to think back on and look at. It's been a journey, man.
I mean, look at where you are right now. I think that you've been 2 or 3 agencies in, right?
This is my sixth agency.
Sixth agency. What happened with the other 5th?
Okay.
The other 5?
I'll try to keep the story quick. So first agency was a gym agency. I worked with gym owners. I just did media buying. I loved running ads. I loved the back end, but I didn't like sales. I didn't like talking to people. I was always super introverted and awkward as a kid. I didn't like the idea of sales made me sweat, bro. Like I didn't want to do it. I've since grown to love sales, but I can touch on that later. But I partnered with somebody who was really good at sales and really good at talking to people. And I did all of the back end stuff. We got that agency to 20K a month. And, you know, I was basically just a media buyer. So I was a freelancer, but I felt like I was a partner, but I didn't actually have partnership equity. So that conversation eventually came up where I was like, all right, man, I'm ready. And he was like, I'm ready for you too. Like, let's make you a partner. And ultimately we couldn't come to terms and we parted ways, which was at the time very, very demotivating. It was hard to, like, all the work I put in to get that agency to 20K a month. And then I was just gone, like, just taken from my hands. Right. And then I eventually got fired as a freelancer too, because he was just like, you know, you want to be a partner, you shouldn't keep being a freelancer here. So I lost the entire thing. Not only did I not become a partner, but I lost my job too, which was for the best, because I was an entrepreneur, like, thick and through, and trying to work with somebody else or work for somebody else just didn't work for me. So then I built my own fitness agency. And I used what we learned at the previous agency to go from zero to 20K a month again, but we did it in 45 days. And that was, like, probably the changing point in my life, because now I went from making 5K a month as a freelancer to making 20K a month profit, like, just with 20 gym clients. We scaled super fast. I was on top of the world. I was like, man, like, I'm going to make $250,000 this year and I'm 18. Like, this is sick. And then COVID happened. And I lost all my clients. All gyms closed. And that was that, man. And I went down to four clients. I was like, maybe a few thousand dollars a month trying to run online ads for them to get them online memberships. And it just didn't work. I got super demotivated. I started kind of distracting myself with other opportunities. I got shiny object syndrome. I wanted to build a clothing brand. I wanted to build a technology company. I wanted to do all these other things when I had the key to financial success right in front of me. It was an agency. I'd made 20K in a month. Like, I knew this worked, but I got distracted because I lost, and that agency went backwards. So I didn't manage it well. But then as I was struggling, as I was getting distracted, as I was getting thrown off, Jared calls me and he's like, hey man, I'm at 100K a month right now. Jared was running a fitness agency too during right before COVID. He was at 10K a month. I was at 20K a month. I always joke, he used to call me for advice, and that was the last time that ever happened. Now I'm always asking him for advice. But his agency crashed too. But then he bought Joel Kaplan's course, and he joined Joel's program, and he scaled a new agency in the e-commerce niche to 100K a month.
Yeah, I remember.
And
that.
I remember seeing that, like, damn, this guy's killing it. Like, I
super young too.
Yes, yeah, he's a year younger than me, so he was like maybe 17.
Yeah,
and he was like, dude, you got to come to Joel's event. Joel's having an event in Mexico. He's changed my life. You got to come. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know what I want to do. And he's like, just come. Just come. Try it. Just see what's up. I go to that event, and my life has never been the same since, because I got to go in the room with Joel and Sergio and all these incredible entrepreneurs, and I got to see in person people just like me who are doing 100K a month, 200K a month, a million a month. I remember I was talking to a guy named Hamza. I don't know if you know Hamza.
Yeah, and, Hamza and Waira.
And Waira, yeah. Waira's awesome, by the way. Just as a shout out to him, really cool guy. I remember talking to Hamza, and I was just like, oh, that's a cool guy. You know, we had a good conversation. And then somebody walks up to me after, and he's like, yo, do you know who that is? I was like, no. And he's like, that guy does 100, or he does 250K a month. I was just like, what? That guy's making 250K a month? I was at like zero at the time because my agency crashed. So I got to see all these people in person, and I got to realize that it was real. I think one of the most powerful traits of a successful person is belief and realization. Like, realizing that you can actually do it, there's nothing that compares to that. And when I saw all these people around me, I realized this is possible. So I got back in. Jared and I, we tried to build a couple agencies. It didn't work out. But then I built a white label company called SMMAfulfillment.com. I since got acquired from that. And then I started a State AI with one of the clients who I was white labeling for. He was running a real estate agency. He was getting so many new clients, but he didn't really know what he was doing. I was like, man, there must be an opportunity here. He's got all these realtors coming in on a monthly basis, and I'm running the ads. None of them are leaving, so they must like the service. And he's getting more and more of them. And none of my other clients are growing as fast as this guy who's working with realtors, but he doesn't even know what he's doing. So, like, there's got to be something in this niche of real estate. So I called Jared. I'm like, dude, we need to build a real estate agency. And he was like, are you kidding me? I don't want to work with real estate agents. The last thing I want to do is build a real estate marketing agency. And I was like, just do it. I also hate
real estate agent marketing, man.
It's tough, man. It's really tough. But I convinced him to do it. And then things blew up because Jared's a very, very smart salesperson and marketer. And we went from like 10 clients to 100 clients in like 3 months. And then at this point, we've served over 650 in a little over a year. So it's been a journey, man. But yeah, that's kind of the background. There were a few other agencies in between, like Cairo and White Label and things like that. But yeah, this is my sixth agency.
Why do you think that, first of all, this agency with a tough avatar, which is a real estate agent,
yeah,
they usually, their mindsets suck.
Yes.
And there's so many of them that are unqualified.
Yes.
Like they just literally just took exam and then I'm call myself a realtor.
Exactly.
Like, so no. And that's why I did not continue with real estate agents. Like, trust me, I have real estate agent friends. There's a lot of real estate agents in this building. They do great. Peter Michael, he's another real estate
agent. Peter Michael. He's one of our coaches.
Yeah, there
you go. Does he live here?
No, he doesn't. But he comes here to show a few properties.
I was gonna say, man, I gotta go say what's up.
Yeah. So Peter Michael, he used to have a real estate agency.
Yeah.
But I moved to wholesalers and real estate investors. They're different. They're a different breed. They're very similar to, like, mindset wise to the agency owners.
Interesting.
Super similar. They understand marketing on a different level. Understand business on a different level. Understand leverage in a different level. So that's why I went into wholesaling and real estate investors. But fulfillment is crazy hard, though.
Really?
Yeah, it is really hard and compared to real estate agents. With real estate agents, you can generate buyer leads, seller leads for like, what, $5, less than $5? Sure. Or whatever? Yeah.
$5 for buyers, $10, maybe $5-$10 for buyers, depending on the qualifications. And then we can get seller leads, like funnel, like solid 5-6 question funnel leads for probably $30.
Yeah, you see, like with real estate investor off-market deals and things like that, it's like 5-10 more cost. So
interesting.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different. Like you're working with a different niche, like same industry, just different target,
different avatar, right?
Different avatar. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went in there and I want to ask you, like, why are you successful as a real estate agency owner compared to like all these real estate agencies?
A Steady Eye is a very interesting agency because it is not like your typical agency at all. Our mission as a company is to shift the paradigm of the entire real estate industry. So everything you just said, agents get a license and then they kind of like just sit around and say, oh, I'm a realtor now. Agents who don't understand business leverage, they actually don't, you know, practice true entrepreneurship. I think that's the number one problem, is agents think of themselves as agents, not entrepreneurs. That is a challenge and a problem that is very, very real, that instead of avoiding, which is what 99% of agencies do, we took it head on and we say, all right, how can we take this problem, which is real estate agents' mindsets suck, to be frank, and how can we fix it? How can we turn it around? So what makes us different is we are trying to tackle that problem. We're facing it. We're trying to change that instead of just accepting it. Like, their mindsets suck. That's what 99% of agency owners do, man. They're like, oh, my client thinks the leads suck and their mindset's bad. So I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to go get another client and replace them. But when you have that thought process, you're just going to be left in this churn and burn game of like trying to replace your previous clients.
Yeah.
Until you eat your customers' problems, until you face them yourself and you realize these are my problems because they are my clients' problems, you never actually get to go anywhere in business because you're always going to be putting the blame on the clients. And I just found that that does not work. So what we do is we teach the clients, we teach the agents, how do you convert leads? What is the mindset you need for leads? What is the mindset you need to scale as a real estate agent in general? What are the systems you need? What are the scripts? What are the techniques? What are the tactics? What are the self-gen methods you can do? So we're teaching agents how to build businesses. We're not just providing leads, right? Leads are a very, very small fraction of holistically what we do, which is coaching, training, mentoring, and masterminding as a community. When we built the community, everything changed. And our clients went from like kind of upset, not loving what we did, to like, oh, wow, there's so much value here. I would be crazy to leave. So I think that's why we succeeded, is we built the community. And I think that's something we've done differently than most agencies, is we built this hybrid model of like, what Joel Kaplan does with agency owners. We just did it for realtors.
Mm-hmm.
Group calls, course, all of it. And now on top of that, we're giving them leads.
Even if it's done for
you? We don't have done for you. It's all done with you.
Done with you.
It's all done with you. We don't do ISAs. We don't do anything like that because then you're going to get the blame from the realtor. They're going to say, well, the ISAs didn't convert the leads. So we're just like, all right, let's just give the scripts to the realtors. Let's help them become the best callers and salespeople they can be. And people like that more because they're growing now. Like they're growing as people. They're learning how to sell. They're leveling up as human beings. And when you can make somebody level up, they're never going to leave your product or service because you've made them better as a person.
Okay.
Yeah.
So done with you.
Done with
opposed
you.
Opposed to done for you will change a lot of stuff for the client itself. Okay. Yep.
I don't recommend
so done what's for your you. What's a user experience right now that they go from they recently just signed up?
Yeah.
And then the next 90, 120 days, what's that a user experience?
Great question. So one of the other cool things we have is all of our coaches are actually licensed realtors.
Okay.
So nice. Our account managers.
Like Michael.
Like
Peter Michael.
Peter Michael, he's a group coach though. So yeah. He does like a once a week call.
Okay.
But our hands-on, like, you know, who you talk to on a daily basis, those are also all licensed agents who use the system. So one of our coaches or client success managers, he's gotten like 20 listing appointments from our system. He's used it. He's done it. He's made it work. He knows how to succeed with it. So the person you're getting support from is actually a realtor as well who uses the system, has done it successfully. What other agency has that, right? You join an agency, you sign up for buyer leads, seller leads, then you go talk to some support person overseas. Nothing wrong with that. But they don't know what you're going through. They don't know how to succeed as an agent. They haven't done it. So all of our coaches are successful agents. I think that's one of the biggest things that has allowed us to get the results we do for our clients. But when they sign up, they get a call from our coach, our head coach, Jake. And then he walks them through an onboarding process. It's 160 slides. It's an hour and a half long call where we're like, everything you've experienced with Zillow and you know, Opcity and all these other companies and all of the complaints about lead quality and all the problems you faced, we're doing the exact opposite. And we're not going to accept your complaining. We're not going to accept your excuses. We're going to make this work together as partners. Here's what to expect. Here's what this is going to look like. And we set very, very radically honest expectations and people appreciate it and they're ready for it. And if they're the right person, they're going to make it succeed. So then we have our group calls. We do daily group calls with all of our clients. We have a Facebook group for all of our clients. We have a course. We have a ton of content for them to just learn and grow as entrepreneurs. And again, trying to shift the paradigm of the entire real estate industry.
What's been the most challenging part of holding this type of agency with real estate agents?
Well, it's definitely we're definitely pulling teeth, as we would say, right? Like agents need to change their mindsets, but they don't want to. Mm-hmm. So the hardest thing is getting the mindsets to shift. That's why most people don't do it because it's hard. Like it's hard, man. You're going to deal with a lot of clients who don't agree. They're going to get upset. They're going to want to go the easy route, but you have to persist no matter what, because for every client who doesn't take on the challenge or has a bad experience, there's going to be five others who you get to change their lives.
Yeah.
So the hardest part is dealing with those clients who, you know, it's like we're pulling their teeth, trying to get them to think differently about their business.
So apart from these licensed coaches, do you also have client success managers that are trained on what the right mindset is, marketing, sales?
Yeah. So we used to do a lot of one-on-one coaching. We don't do it anymore. Like we used to have one-on-one coaching was an add-on of our service. And all of our one-on-one coaches were, again, licensed realtors. People who had done 10 million, 15 million, 20 million in a year, like very successful agents, to teach sales, mindset, systems, and everything. So yeah, we teach all of that stuff as well, if that answers your question.
Do you have CSMs?
Yeah, we have one. We have one main CSM and then we have CSRs to do email and tech support. Yeah.
Client success rep.
Reps.
Okay. Yep. And then client success manager to like actually check on them.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Kind of like in a Slack or Discord channel or something.
Just email. We do email in the Facebook group.
Okay, yep. Cool. That's awesome, man. So basically one is like a the CSR. It's like an account manager kind of, but like it's only support.
Yeah.
So it's supporting the CSM.
Yes.
Right? In more of a technical customer service type of thing. All right, that's cool. Oh man. And you know, I've always been thinking like, if I were to turn my Done For You agency into a Done With You, can I help more people?
Bro, if you did it with investors and wholesalers, if you recreated Estate AI for that market.
But here's my thing. I haven't scaled a wholesaling company like to multiple
seven figures. Well, dude, here's what's interesting. I've never sold a home in my fucking life. I've never sold a home in my life. I don't know the first thing about it.
Yeah.
But I know how to build a business and I know how to find the people who know about it. I don't know shit about real estate. I know about sales and marketing. I can help you convert your leads. I can get you leads. I can do that. But I don't know how to list a house. I don't know how to take, my mom's an agent. My brother's an agent. That's why I work with realtors. Because I saw how it changed my mom's life. And yeah. She went from making 80K a year in corporate America to getting fired and making 400K a year as a realtor. So I know how real it is, but I don't know the experience myself. I've never built a successful real estate business, but I found people who have, mm-hmm. and I know the components that are required, which is mindset, sales, and marketing. The real estate side, the like, how do you, you know, serve your customers? How do you list their house? All that. I just find coaches to teach it. I don't need to know that.
Kind of part-time or like more of a...
Yeah, once a week coaches like Peter Michael. Dude, I don't do any of the coaching calls in our group. Jared doesn't do any of the coaching calls in our group. We are not the faces of the community. Our team is.
Yeah.
So you don't... I would challenge you. You don't need to be a successful wholesaler to be able to build a successful wholesaling consulting company.
Right.
Tom Ferry is one of the biggest real estate coaches in the game, right? And I don't think he's ever sold a home in his life.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, man, I think it's all about how can you find the people and get the people around you to support the vision and support the sides that you may not have experience in, which is like the technical nitty gritty of building the wholesaling company.
Yeah. And anyone can do this. Anyone can do this with any type of niche.
Yes.
Anyone.
This is what Gym Launch was. I mean, Gym Launch was a mastermind on top of a licensing company. Yeah.
But so, I mean, Alex Ramosi actually scaled gyms.
In the beginning. And he was a successful gym owner. Exactly. So yes, he had a lot of experience. It would help if you had built a successful real estate wholesaling company.
Yeah.
Like it would help, but I don't think it's required.
Yeah, it's not a requirement.
Exactly.
And it's not the end of the world if I didn't, because I find the experts, you find the experts
yep.
that have done it, that support your vision, like you said, huge.
Exactly.
You sell them in the why, like why we're doing this
yes.
and how we're going to help so many people.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. And it's so personal. Like so many of our coaches are like, I love what you guys are trying to do here. So it's real to them because they faced it themselves. They were real estate agents who weren't successful at one point and they needed somebody to help them become successful. So for them to go from a successful agent who had to figure it all out themselves to now a successful agent who can pass it on to others and make it way easier, it's so fulfilling. So yeah, you can do it in any niche. You got to find the right people and they will be bought in if you can sell them on the vision.
Isn't it crazy that you guys named your company Estate AI
yeah.
and then a few months, maybe a year later, it got so popular.
AI,
that keyword itself.
I've been thinking about it a lot lately. It's funny because we don't do a ton of AI in our company, to be honest, but there's a small AI component, but AI is so popular. We're just like, we're not going to change the name. It just wouldn't make sense right now. So it is interesting, man. AI is going to be crazy. AI is going to be very, very powerful. It's a bit scary, but it's exciting.
So I'm not gonna leave it this way. You did mention that there was like five Americans, and mm-hmm. then probably it'll be four.
Yeah.
If you know where I'm going.
Yeah. Me moving.
What's going on there?
Dude, Bali's looking really nice right now. hey, Puerto Rico, man.
Bali has a new rule, man.
What?
No sex before marriage.
That's true, isn't it?
And you get incarcerated. Yeah, you go to jail. Yeah.
All right, Bali's looking a little bit less nice, but Puerto Rico's looking cool, man.
Okay.
Can I cuss on here? You can have sex. I'll just keep it clean. You can have sex in Puerto Rico, you know, before marriage. But no, I respect it. Look, man, if that's somebody's, I don't think you should enforce that on other people. But if that's your belief. I don't think there's anything wrong with waiting until marriage. So hey, do your thing, Bali. I'll figure it out if I get there, man. Maybe I'll just go celibate. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, man, the US is cool. I love it here. But every time I travel, I'm like, man, there's so many incredible experiences and cultures and people that I have not got to meet or see or experience myself. And I've always wanted to move and live in Bali or South Africa or something. Nice. So one day we'll
I have a few team members in South Africa.
Yeah. Nice. How do they like it?
It's great. The only bad part about having team members in South Africa, they have load shedding, which is it's basically a concept to retain some of the power, some of the energy that the country needs, whatever. So they go offline literally for like 2, 4, 6 hours sometimes. So the power just goes out. And
yeah, I don't like that.
And unless you have a generator and also some sort of like satellite Wi-Fi or something that help, you know, continues. That's the only part, bad part about living in South Africa.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Dude, I don't want to kill your dreams. I already told about Bali. I already told about South Africa. Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I can't keep going.
Let me tell you the next one so you can shut that down too. But are you living in Miami or are you living in Colombia?
I'm living in Miami.
Okay.
Yeah. Colombia, okay. can do it until my entire process to become a citizen is finished.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. How do you like Colombia?
I love it, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's why Omir will become a Colombian resident.
Yeah.
Jose Sanchez became a Colombian resident. Omir wants to have Colombia as his hometown. We're going to partner up. We're going to create a Colombian corporation so that he can get the benefits out of Colombia and things like that. So that's coming up. But, bro, the thing is that it has everything to offer.
Colombia is amazing.
It's amazing. It's an amazing country.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, because they don't travel outside of the US, they never actually seen how amazing it is.
It's beautiful. It's cheap. And what do you love most about it?
So the women are amazing.
Besides the women.
I love the food. Some people prefer food from other countries, but I love the food. Food is super diverse. The diversity of the country itself is such a small country, and it has a lot of people, but it has a lot of diversity. Natural diversity. There's mountains, the deserts. There is beaches, rivers. There is like beach. You can easily fly to a place and be like Miami-like, even better. Europe-like and even better. Mm-hmm. Cartagena.
Cartagena.
Like mountains, the hike life. It's an amazing scenery. And most importantly, the people itself make you feel warm. I've always said this. Ever since I came to Canada and the US, I've always felt how cold people are. And it's not because it snows or it's freezing. It's because the culture is like they mind their own business. So it becomes as cold. I'm not into other people's business, but Latinos are like, you know, okay, tell me more. What's going
on
there?
They're
like,
so friendly.
They're super
so friendly.
Super friendly. They are essentially in other people's business.
Not
in
a bad way.
They're interested. They're genuinely interested. Yeah. So right away, it gives you that warmth, right?
Yeah.
Like you're in the elevator. Here, if you're in an elevator, it's rare for people to say hi to you. Or
that's
because
you're in Miami, though. If you came to North Carolina, it's much different. Like the South is much different. The South is very friendly and kind of open. But Miami, I have noticed the same thing. It's not quite like that, but I have noticed in Costa Rica, Colombia, cause I went to Medellin, and I've been to Costa Rica and Mexico a few times. Everybody is very friendly and open. Like if you want to talk, like they'll talk and like, they want to learn about you. And it's very cool. It's a very special place, special place, beautiful, amazing things to do. There's just so much you can do. The people are awesome. The food's awesome.
Have you tried it?
I've been to Medellin.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been to Medellin for 2 weeks. Awesome time, man.
Try it more than 2 weeks.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah,
I will. The women too. The women.
As a young lad, man, maybe you'll find your Sofia Vergara.
Well, I wish.
But I actually thought that you were leaving State AI because you said from 5 to 4.
Oh yeah, no.
Because listeners also got confused because I got confused.
Yeah.
I thought you said that you were leaving the state.
No, so
you're leaving the country, which is
I'm
different.
Leaving the country. Yeah. I should have worded that better. I'm leaving the country. We've thought about getting acquired and we've thought about acquiring and we've thought about that process. But right now, I after this team retreat, like if we were to get acquired, I would want to be on the board. So I'd still want to be a part of it. I'd want to be a board member, but I am we are thinking about potentially getting acquired. So yeah, that actually is something we're exploring right now. So
ultimately, where do you want to go? Do you want to take this? Is your ultimate vision like around State AI, or this was just like a cash cow machine?
And it started off as a cash cow. We were like, we just want to build it up to 100K a month and then sell it. And that's that. And then we got the team and the clients and the product that we have, and we're just like, this is too good to give up. But Jared and I have talked a lot, man, and to be honest with you, we're like, we don't know if we see the vision as much as our team does. We started the vision, we created it, and they fell in love with it, and they, you know, maximized it, and they made it very, very real. But Jared and I have wondered, like, are we really the people to build a State AI into what it can be? And this all happened when we met with Alex Ramosi. I don't know if you know this, but we applied for their portfolio a while ago. And we actually joined their nurture portfolio. We got accepted to basically be, once you hit X amount of revenue, you can come into the main portfolio. We weren't big enough to be in the main one. But when we talked to Alex and his team, what they wanted us to do was become a real estate brokerage, which was like, we thought that was genius. We were like, yes, this makes perfect sense. Become a brokerage, scale a brokerage. That's what they wanted us to do. And as we thought about that, we were super excited because we were like, boom, billion-dollar company, be the next DXP. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, are we the people who are passionate about building a real estate brokerage? Yeah. And do we really have the commitment to that vision to see it all the way through?
Yeah.
And ultimately, I don't think we were. Yeah. So we're exploring finding that person, and we're exploring what that can do, because we don't want to hinder the team, man. We don't want to let the team down. If we're not fully 100% in on the vision, then we're not the right leaders for the team. So we did what we had to do to get it to this point. It's been special. It's been amazing. But we don't know if we're the people to get it to 30 million a year or 300.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's best to do great things and grow your companies when you have that passion. That passion is still alive. That fire is still there.
Yeah.
Sometimes I guess the fire can lower a little bit at some point.
It can. I mean, the passion can definitely rise and lower. I don't think you need passion to be successful. I don't think you need passion to build a successful business, but it definitely helps.
Yeah.
It definitely helps. Yeah.
So you also mentioned tech.
Yes.
When you were trying to do a lot of different things, would you ever go back to tech?
That's actually what I want to do.
Ah.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to share the idea yet. Yes, I have an idea. I have something on work. I'll tell you. Maybe outside the podcast, I'll get your thoughts on it. But there is something I'm working on that I'm thinking about. Yeah, tech is what I love. Like before market, when I was 17 years old, I was a senior in high school watching interviews with the most successful tech entrepreneurs and CEOs, like Drew Houston and Dropbox and
Y Combinator.
How to Start a Startup, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen the series?
I've been devouring it. Like which series?
They have just a straight up series that is called How to Start a Startup.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's like 23 lectures. They bring in, have you seen it?
In Stanford University.
Yeah, yeah. I watched that when I was 17, bro. When I was 17, I watched the entire Y Combinator How to Start a Startup series. And I was like, this is what I'm meant to do.
Yeah.
I'm meant to build a great product that is a software that serves the world. Like this is what I'm meant to do. Yeah. So agencies for me have always been a stepping stone to get to the level to be able to build a tech company. But it's hard to build a tech company as it is, especially without any business experience. What I've learned through building a marketing agency is going to serve me so well in the next venture, especially if it's a tech company. But I'm really glad to hear you're studying it too. You're looking into tech companies as well. 100%. Joel and I were talking about this in Denver.
We want to turn into tech service.
Yeah.
I got approached by a billionaire, a Shark Tank guy that...
Really?
His team, not him. His
actually, team. Like one of the Shark Tank team?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Shark Tank Colombia.
Okay.
And they approached me and they were like, your model can turn into a tech service. And I'm like, what's that? So I started digging. Yeah, whatever you're doing, you can turn it into tech.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is really interesting. So I started digging more. They wanted to acquire a percentage of my stuff. It didn't work out to terms and stuff like that, but they planted a seed on me.
Mm.
And then I was like, so true. What if I can just do something to give lots of people access, right? Think about Patrick Bet David. Patrick Bet David, he built a tech service company for I believe for insurance financial agents, right? Financial advisor, financial professionals.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Well, I'm not 100% sure, but he recently also exited for a great amount. I think it was like he got partial amount, $70 million cash, $70 million, and he exited his company. He sold part of his company, and that was a tech service company.
Yeah, well, dude, the cool thing about tech is the multiples are much higher on exits. You know, in an agency, you maybe can get 3x EBITDA. In a tech company, you can get 7 to 10x EBITDA.
Yeah.
So they're intrinsically more valuable because software is such a very clear competitive advantage. Once you have built the software, what buyers are looking for, and I've learned this as Jaren and I are going through the process of trying to get acquired, buyers are looking for sustainability, right? They want a company that is going to be successful long term.
Right.
And the thing about software is once you've developed the software, like you've developed the core of the company, which is the product, the software, how it works. So the software in itself is sustainable. Like companies like Facebook and Google and all these, they're just pieces of code. But once they've been built, they continue to scale, they continue to grow because it doesn't go anywhere, right? Yeah. Versus a lead gen company, you're relying on Facebook. If Facebook goes out, our lead gen, 100%. We have to pivot to TikTok and that's not going to work as well. So it's like, it's a mess, right? Our coaching in our community, we constantly have to be coaching. We constantly have to bring on new content. We constantly have to grow the mastermind. But once you've built a line of code that solves a problem for somebody, you've done the hardest part. Yeah. You've built the product, you solved the problem. So, yeah, software is very, very cool. I love it, man. It's what I feel like I'm here to do. And so I really want to build a great tech company one day. That is actually the long-term dream. I did not expect us to talk about that, but it's cool.
In December, I met like maybe 20 tech entrepreneurs.
Okay.
I made a trip to Colombia. I actually met my friend that we went to elementary school together. We haven't seen each other for 20 years. And I knew that he was kind of like doing something about tech. He built a Uber for universities in Latin America.
Mm.
That went well. I believe he exited that one. But then now he's building a blockchain supported bank for Gen Zs.
Bank for Gen Zs?
Digital bank.
Digital bank. Okay.
For Gen Zs.
Mm.
Backed by the blockchain. His name is Andres Mendez. And so he has a lot of experience. He's been given partial equity in so many tech companies to help them grow. So he has like 1-2% of different tech companies. But now he's going all in into this one, which is the bank, the digital bank for Gen Zs. And I met with him, bro, and like he literally just blew my mind. And
yeah.
Then he introduced me to all these other tech entrepreneurs, and they ended up blowing my mind even more.
Yeah.
Like I met a guy that
it's fascinating.
That he built a product that stops spam comments, spam messages. And Twitter bought him.
Twitter bought
his company. He's from South Africa. I met him in Colombia.
Really?
Yeah. Now he's like doing. He's
How
doing,
much did he sell it for? Did he say?
I don't know. I didn't ask him, but Twitter bought it. And now he's having like a sabbatical, I don't know, 6 months, 1 year, whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of tech companies, tech people that exit actually take sabbaticals.
They should. Anybody who sells a company, I feel like before you go into the next thing, before you rush into the next thing, you have to close the feedback loop of your success, which is like, I worked extremely hard to achieve a certain thing. Now that I've achieved it, like it's very clear. I sold my company. I did it, right? Yeah. I did it. I have to close that feedback loop and enjoy it to create the feedback loop in my brain of like achieve X and Y Z thing. Enjoy X and Y Z success. Like do push-ups and get big and then, you know, do a bodybuilding competition or like whatever, you know, that's a bad example. but like you have to enjoy the fruits of your labor. You have to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Otherwise you're just going to be putting in labor forever and you're going to start to wonder why, and you're not going to be able to be consistent. You're going to get burnt out and you're going to stop. So sabbatical, taking time for yourself, for your health, for your rest, enjoying life, I think is super important. For anybody who builds a business, right? Otherwise, you're just going to jump right into the next thing, which is what I'm dealing with right now. Cause I'm like, man, we're thinking about selling Estate AI and I'm already thinking about the next thing. So I'm like, there's no time in between. I'm dealing with all these health issues. I need to just take some time off. I need to rest and recover. I need to focus on myself, enjoy my life, and then come back and do the next business. And I think I'll be in a way healthier mental position to actually execute on the next idea rather than just jumping right into it.
Yeah, man. So if at any point like you want me to introduce you, let's go to Colombia and I'll introduce you to the tech entrepreneurs, all
say
these
less.
Tech business owners.
Yeah,
there's a tech business owner I met that he built basically the what is this? The one that checks on your credit score, Credit Karma. But he did not build it for, he did not build Credit Karma.
He
built it for Latin America. The Credit Karma for Latin America.
That's the cool thing about Latin. I just checked the time. I have to go, but we're about to catch a flight for the people listening in. we did the super last minute. The cool thing about Latin America is there's so many ideas that have worked here that are proven, that have product market fit, that you can just take and replicate in other countries.
Yeah.
And very, very interesting. You just met both those two ideas you just mentioned, right? They were successful companies, but then they were just replicated.
And there's one idea, it's called Rappi from Latin America, that hasn't been replicated here in the US because it's so successful in Latin America. It's very like Instacart, but like in steroids. You know, have you ever used Instacart?
No, but I know what it is.
All right. So basically, yeah, you take your app, you can actually go and buy your groceries or like, you know, buy like maybe clothes, whatever, to bring you stuff real fast.
Yeah.
But in Latin America, it actually grew in Colombia. It exploded, multiple billion dollar company. But it's not as good as Instacart.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Interesting, man. Yeah. Very, very interesting. Dude, this was an awesome conversation. Thanks for having me. I wish we could have gone deeper on some stuff, but we were cut for time. So thanks for squeezing me in last minute, man.
Brother.
Pleasure.
All right, man. You have a great flight. And
thank you, brother.
Again, if you guys got any value from this podcast, you can leave us a review, 5 stars. If you don't leave a 5 stars, tell us why. Always looking to hear for feedback. But again, just share this with your circle, with your friends, family, your community, if you loved it. And thanks again for listening for the one of episodes of the Online Hustlers podcast. All right.
Let's go.